It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 440. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And don't forget the wiki, which is maintained and supported by end users like yourself, especially Winston Wolf and Barb, who Citizen X, who does a fabulous job at keeping it up to date. That's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the older shows and links to the not only the audio, but the show notes for the older shows. Great place to go for past Mike Tech Show podcasts. Now, got an interesting show tonight. I got one real topic that I want to talk about. Knowing the trenches stories, I'm actually living one right now as I record the show. I'm doing exchange maintenance on a corrupted database for a client. So I'll hopefully have good news to report back on the next show to talk about how this goes. So this is the client where I've already ordered the server because it's been crashing and having problems. Well, we hit a real bad one today. We're keeping our fingers crossed and hope that this repair works. I get Exchange up and running. I just needed to go for a few days. So let's see what happens, and I'll definitely report back. The main topic, and then I got a great stack of email here that I'm going to get to with not only great questions, but great utilities and things that will make you more productive. That's what this whole show is about. I want you to think back when you first heard of a search engine called Google. I remember my reaction. You got to be kidding. Who would name a site Google? It's become part of our vocabulary now. Oh, I'm going to go Google that. I'm going to Google, we take it for granted. It's like automatic. Well, I'm going to introduce a new search engine for you that I want you to try out if you haven't heard about it already. And I've started using it. It works. And there's some reasons why I want you to try it. And it's called DuckDuckGo. I'm not making this up. If you go to DuckDuckGo.com, you will be presented with a very clean search interface. Reminds you of Google. But there are some big differences. One, DuckDuckGo is based solely on keeping your information, or actually not even keeping your information. Everything is completely private. Anything you type, anything you search, any information you put in there it's not being stored. It's not being held. It is completely safe. That is their whole mantra. Everything is based on your anonymity as you search. What if you started searching for a particular illness that you may or may not have, but you're looking for information on it? That stuff is stored with your credentials for identifying you, and you're searching for that. Do you know that could affect your rates if anybody ever got a hold of that and started using that information? DuckDuckGo has a lot of stories about that. What they do for maintaining security, privacy, that none of this is being kept. I want you to take a look at it and give it a try. One of the things that I want you to think about and try, and it's one of the big features, and it's the exclamation point. And that's always referred to as bang. Okay, so when a computer person says bang, they mean the exclamation point. What I would like you to do is hit the exclamation point bang and then type the word bang. So we're going to go bang, bang. Only this time we're going to go the bang and then we're going to actually spell B-A-N-G. And when you do that in DuckDuckGo, you are going to see what all of the bang commands are. Now, what is a bang command? Well, how would you like to bang and the letter A, a space, and then type something and it searches Amazon? Let's say you want to search the blog Anandtech, A-N-A-N-D-T-E-C-H. If you put bang and that blog name, and then a space, it would actually go through and search that website. Or how about bang PC Mag space and let it search PC Magazine. I wanted to get you up and running quickly with some of the hidden features of DuckDuckGo. And one of the biggest ones is this, the bang command and this exclamation point. And if you start taking a look at that, this could become very, very fast for you to search and Google. For you to search and have an alternative to Google. Give it a try. Take it out for a test drive. It's like having a new browser. You give it a try. I've been trying to wean myself to Chrome, and I'm having a tough time. This will take with some of you. Others, you're familiar with Google, happy with Google, and it's going to be very hard to leave Google for searching. I'm trying to embrace DuckDuckGo just as an alternative, and it's nice to be presented with one. Also, it's a local company in my area, and they presented a month ago at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, and it was a very cool presentation as they showed how this developed and how they, what they're doing, you know, and where they're heading with DuckDuckGo, how they monetize it. You get one ad at the top of the page, and that's it. And it's very obvious that it's an ad. So it's not sneaky like Google squeezes in some paid for links and you're not quite sure. They try to hide the fact that it's a paid ad. DuckDuckGo, it's clean, it's simple. It may not give you everything that you're getting from Google today. I like supporting underdogs and small companies because that's how they become great big companies. And then we'll DuckDuckGo, if they take over, then we'll find someone else to go knock them off the top. What I like doing is putting out alternatives so you can consider that and give it a try. Report back. Let me know how you think about DuckDuckGo and you're searching and you're using that versus Google. Give me your thoughts on that. And down the road, I'll do another show and see how it is. Let's hit the email. First one is from Al. Mike, how are you doing, my friend? I hope you have had a nice Christmas and look forward to a great new year. I have listened to your show for approximately 2 years now, and I have emailed you a few times, both to your Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets. Absolutely, Al. Thank you very, very much. You can mention this on the show, but I'm hopefully after some quick advice. Al, I apologize that I'm getting back to you actually in the show here. I didn't get a chance to write to him. I have a customer that I do some remote work for, and they have been using a Windows XP Pro machine as a file sharing server for a few years. And they have been having issues backing up and having too many users connected errors, maximum 10, and other problems. And the customer decided to get a NAS, that's network attached storage, and asked for some advice on selection. I told him I had no experience, but that Synology was highly recommended by a friend. Yes, I spend so many hours listening to you. I sometimes think of you as a friend. That's cool. I tried to talk the customer into going Windows Server or FreeNAS, as I have never, ever touched a NAS device before. He ordered a 4-bay DS412 Plus. That's exactly what I have for a client who is a graphic designer. And he set up the 4 1-terabyte drives in a RAID 5 Plus spare. That was his decision, and he had it to build it. 2 terabytes is more than enough for him. I created user accounts and shares yesterday and think this looks like a fantastic product with lots of features. My question is this. We have over 320 gigs of data to transfer over the network. I will be doing this remotely via TeamViewer. I'm just wondering how you would normally do the initial data transfer. I am familiar with TerraCopy and SyncBack free versions, but is there a better way to do this? No, you actually answered the question yourself. SyncBack, the free version, is the perfect option. I have often used that to transfer large amounts of data from one share to another, or one server to another, or a desktop to a server, because it will continue if it runs into an error and you get a log file specifying the folders or directories that you cannot access. There might be a permissions problem. There could be another issue. Now, if you go back up, if you use SyncBack SE, sort of the pro version, that program will back up open files. So it will copy open files. Right now, I would say just try the SyncBack free version, see what happens. See what the results, if it backs it all up, great. If it misses a couple, now you got to go back and look as to why you can't access that. And again, it's probably going to be some type of permissions problem, or somebody has the file open and it's locked, and that's why you can't copy it. But SyncBack's the answer. I just want to get the data from A to B in an error-free, fast, efficient way over the LAN. The Synology has a 1 gig NIC, but the XP box only has 100 meg NIC, and that will be the bottleneck. I would go one step further, and I would buy an inexpensive gig NIC card. You can get that from Amazon or Newegg, $10, $15 for a gig NIC. Put it in the XP machine, and then I would make sure you have a gig switch, even if it's a small one, just between the Synology and the XP workstation. I've done this creating private networks that are gigabit just for file transfers. And I'm going to actually be running into that with a server migration soon, where I'm going to make sure I'm gig at both servers with a gig switch between us that they're connected to, and it's going to have a phenomenal transfer. I would also like to do a follow-up email and have a discussion around the Synology packages. There's some amazing software in there to make it act as a mail server, CMS, or CRM server. Do you ever use any of those features? No, but I am going to talk about one feature I've used it for. Well, anyway, I hope to hear back soon. I need to start transferring the data either this evening or tomorrow. Al, I am so sorry. I didn't get to the end of that email. I didn't realize you needed it that quickly. Let me know what you used. You already had the right software, TerraCopy or SyncBack. Now, as to the advanced features of Synology, I've only been using it for file sharing. I have not tapped some of those advanced features except the Apple Mac feature where it will look like, and you can set up a share to act as a share that Time Machine will use in a LAN environment. So you could have that share out on the network that looks like a journalized Mac file system that any Mac OS X system, newer system, will see that as a Mac share and write using Time Machine. I've double dipped with this Synology with one client who has all Macs, and we do our backups of the Macs to that system, and we keep that for file sharing. Now, you say, how do you back that up? Well, you can sync that to another duplicate NAS device. It's going to cost you twice as much money. But if you want to do it, that's the way to do it. Or take that and have it backing up to the cloud using one of your workstations that has everything mapped, and then have that workstation basically take those mapped drives and send it up to a backup service in the cloud. Make sure you're backing up your NAS. Just because you have a NAS, just because it's RAID 5 and you have that extra drive, does not mean that you are immune to disaster and that you shouldn't back it up. You need to back it up. This email is from Josh. He listens to the Mike Tech Show from PodCruncher app, and he sent me a screenshot that as of April in 2010, which is when I made some changes to the website, that's when I stopped getting it on the PodCruncher. Here's what I recommend, and this will be a link in the show notes. The best feed that you could ever use, regardless of the, I don't care what the pod app, podcast aggregator that you're using, the ultimate feed is mikenation.net/feed/podcast. You will get every podcast if you enter that feed. That is the best feed to use. And I don't talk about that enough, and maybe I should start putting that in the top of the show notes for the next few shows. I want to get that out there because I'm often asked, hey, sometimes I have trouble getting your feed. I'm like, man, that is the best feed to use. Keep that in mind and share that feed. With all of the difficulties that I was having with hosting back in the Brinkster days, and I had to change over my feed, changed the domain name, changed to mikenation.net, and then I started forwarding miketechshow.com. The feed gets confusing as to what to use to properly get the podcast. But if you use that mikenation.net/feed/podcast, I guarantee you will always get the current, the latest, the greatest podcast when I post it up. Use that feed with whatever podcast aggregator you're using. And I highly recommend Zipod, Z-I-E-P-O-D. And that's where I test my old feed. That's the old XML file. I actually test that with Zipod. And Kate turned me on to that player. And it's very, very good. If you're in need of a podcatcher, boy, Zipod's a really good one. And then certainly iTunes, and you can always look for Mike Tech Show on iTunes and subscribe that way. This is from David. Advice for my new generator. And I'll take all the advice I can get. Some tips for your generator. Every 6 months, pour a pint of gas in and run it till it dies. Then change the oil. Those pneumatic tires tend to lose air and go flat. Get some kind of inflator, powered or hand, or do like I did and replace them with hard rubber tires. I got mine at Harbor Freight. Dave from Miami, thank you very, very much. And I can imagine you being in Miami, what you're battling with hurricanes. He has the same generator, so that's awesome. Thank you for the tip. This is from Michael. Thanks for all the great podcast shows in 2012. I had downloaded and listened to all of them. I know you put a lot of work into each show, and I really appreciate it. You are right about the length of your shows. 30 to 40 minutes is just right. Some of the other podcasts run over an hour, and that is just too long. Your show and Tech Vets are the best two podcasts on the internet. Thanks also for reminding me about the HT T Rack program. I started using it several years ago for saving website that I have a real interest in before they are taken down. This is Michael, thank you, and he is from New Mexico. This subject, networking and VLANs, and this is from T Daily. Mike, a couple of shows back, you talked about managed switches and VLANs. I've been using Netgear's ProSafe Plus switches. They are very inexpensive smart switches that have VLAN and QoS support. The 5-port model goes for around $65. That is inexpensive. They don't have a network accessible GUI. You have to install Netgear's configuration utility on a computer to set up the switch. Oh, I hate that. Don't get confused between their standard ProSafe switches and the ProSafe Plus switches. I use VLANs to give myself a couple of isolated network connections on my workbench and also to provide an isolated wireless link in the house. A very important aspect of networking is trunking multiple VLANs using VLAN tagging, and there's no better way to learn than doing it yourself. These inexpensive switches are a great resource to fiddle with this stuff at home. Hey, you know what? I recommend that because the switches I recommend tend to go from, oh, you can find them sometimes, those HP Pro Curves that I like, from like 250 to 350, and they vary, and they fluctuate up and down the prices. But to start playing with that for $65, that's awesome. Here are links that show my network layout and some configuration screenshots. Feel free to share these. And next he has, the ProSafe Plus configuration screenshots are toward the bottom of this PDF. The first part is the VLAN configuration in my DDDWRT routers. And he has the links, and since he gave permission, I will post them up for you to check out. This is from Simon. Hi, Mike. I just installed an SSD, and it's a solid-state drive, in a Dell laptop and have this to offer for those who have insufficient space to store their OS and data on, say, 128 gig SSD. An efficient way to move your entire user profile to a second drive using an NTFS junction point. Just moving the contents of documents, music, pictures, etc. will not be sufficient, at least for me anyway, since I have a lot of VMs which are stored in hidden user folders, but nevertheless in the user profile. The procedure should work with any secondary drive, and in my case, has even worked using an external USB 2 TB drive. The transfer rate is fine. And he has a link, how to move your Windows user profile to another drive. I confess to using software to create the actual junction point rather than the command prompt. The free software I used is available here, and it's Junction Like Magic. Finally, I would urge anyone attempting this to image their system before attempting this for reasons which should not need explanation. Still enjoying the show, Simon. Simon, thank you very, very much. Moving a profile is not easy. You can't just pick it up and copy it. You can't just, like he said, only copy a couple folders. So it's nice having some utilities that we can use to help us migrate that profile. And I was worried about that on my system I'm using right now. I only have a 128 gig SSD. So I was very worried about that. And I basically tricked it to where it's using my profile on what used to be my old C drive, and now it's my E drive. And I've just changed all the links, changed registry entries to move to that. So this way, my default storage location is there. But now if I had utilities like this that would have automatically done that, that would be great. But remember, you got to change the way your applications save to a default profile and make sure that they're saving like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and make sure that they are saving to the other drive. This is from Jared. Hi, Mike. I'm a big fan of the show. I always recommend it to IT pros and hobbyists I come in contact with. I have a simple question. When using Malwarebytes or any malware scanner, what's your preference on full scan versus quick scan? Does the choice just depend on the situation, or is running full scan always a waste of time? No, I always run full scan. Now, remember, you could ask someone else, they're going to give you a different answer. I run full scan. If you suspect that your system or the system that you're doing this on is infected, run it in safe mode and then do the cleaning. So remember that. Safe mode, full scan, that should be your default for Malwarebytes, especially when you suspect that there's a problem. This is the first show of 2013, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year and thank you so, so much in supporting the show, downloading it. I really appreciate it. I have some music I'm going to play in a second. A special thank you to everybody who used my Amazon link in December. You made it a record month. I thank you so much. And the link is amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon. And I want to thank all of you so much for using that link. And please continue to use the link. That's the best way to support the show. I get a commission. Your price stays the same. Bookmark those links. Share those links. It really helps, and I want to thank everybody so much for that. Now, a few weeks ago, I purchased Green Day tickets. Green Day then canceled their concert, which was going to be in another couple weeks in January, and I had the choice of keeping the tickets, waiting for a scheduled date for, you know, as they reschedule, or I could turn them in for a refund. Well, I decided to hold on to them. Green Day just announced their makeup concerts now for the tour. Billy Joe's out of rehab, and they are going to be playing in Philadelphia in April. I think like April 3rd. So I'm going to get to see Green Day. And because of that, I picked a great song. This was performed live in 2012. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. Some make the best of this ass and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. Go! It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you have the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. Thank you.
That was Green Day and the song Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. And that was from a live concert this past year. And I will have a link to where you can get all of their great music from Amazon. I want to thank everybody for hanging out live tonight, including the interruptions with the real-life tech support interrupting in the middle of this. Glad to get this show out tonight. I didn't think it was going to happen today. When I started having some serious problems I'm working on for client, and things didn't end out too good tonight, but there's tomorrow. I have the most understanding and patient client that understands this problem, and they know they waited too long to order the new server, and the new server's ordered. Now I got to work a miracle and try to get that server here faster so we can convert a lot sooner than we had been planning because of the hardware troubles that we're having. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. Let's hope for a great new year for you, your family, everyone. And I'll see you same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.